Jesus is speaking in John 16:7. Jesus is about to die, and he's like, hey, I'm going to leave. I'm going to die, and then I'm going to ascend into heaven, die, resurrect, and then ascend. And here's my plan for you as my people. And that's where we're jumping in. John 16:7. Jesus is like, don't worry. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. You don't need to worry that I'm going to leave you. It's to your advantage that I'm going to go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. We're spending some time learning about the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures. And we see here that Jesus is leaving. And he's like, y'all don't need to worry. I got things under control. I have this plan. I'm going to send you the Helper, which to us means very little. Can we admit that? Like, we're like, what good does that do necessarily? Like, we're not exactly sure what the Holy Spirit does. And when we're told the Holy Spirit is our Helper, which is our first point tonight, our Helper. When we hear our Helper, we're like, what? But what we have to understand is that this word in the Greek is bigger than just our Helper. And even your version might say advocate. Your version might say something different. Honestly, personal favorite, the Message version, says friend. And here's why. What Jesus is saying is very simple. And the disciples would have understood. Jesus was like, hey, I'm going to send you a paraclete. That's the way, the Greek word, it's something along those lines, or para, kaleo. And here's what it means. We know the word parallel, right? Like something that's alongside us. So para, and then kaleo or cleat, whatever. It's said different ways, different tenses. Para, kaleo means called. So called parallel, called alongside. That's what Jesus is saying. Like, I'm going to send somebody to you that's going to be alongside you forever. It's not going to leave you. And what's beautiful about this is in other parts of the Scriptures, it's said that Jesus was the paraclete. Like, Jesus was their advocate. Jesus was their Helper. And so Jesus is saying, hey, I'm no longer going to be the one that's with you, that's guiding you, that's teaching you, that's going to be parallel to you. In relationship to you, I'm going to leave and you don't need to worry about it. Because I'm going to send someone, something, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, to take that role and do it for everyone. And so that's what Jesus is saying. In John 16, he's leaving and he's like, don't worry. Don't worry. And a little bit more context, like some of us are like, I don't need help. I would have said that as a college student. And even today, like we can go about our days just kind of minding our own business. We kind of honestly treat God as like a help when in emergency, you know? Like when stuff hits the fan, that's when we're like, God, please help, right? Or when we haven't studied for that test, we're like, God, I beg of you. A, B, C, D, or E. Speak to me, right? You're like, please lead me if you're real. Like we turn to God and help when we're like really, really, really in trouble, right? But the reality is John 15:5. Apart from Jesus, apart from God, we can do nothing. That's what Jesus had just said before that. So he's like, hey, apart from me, you can't do anything, but I'm going to send the Spirit of God to be with you always, to be in you, to guide you. And so it's not just helper in times of need, although that is what the Holy Spirit does. It's like helper all the time. We always need the Spirit of God. We always need God. We always need help. And then a little bit later, John 15, it says that if you follow Jesus, you abide in Jesus, that people are going to hate you. Why? You believe there is one way, one truth, and one way to find life, and it's through Jesus. That's not a popular message. And so Jesus is saying, hey, you can't do anything apart from me. People are going to hate you, and so I'm going to send something to help you, to help each and every one of you, to be with you. I like my Dale Wallace version, like really plain and simple, like what is the Holy Spirit? It's like our constant friend. That's what the Spirit of God is. And I was reminded of our need for help and really working better together than when we're separated or in isolation. Anyone go watch the Iron Man in Waco this weekend? Did anyone? Did y'all leave for fall break? Goodness gracious, does everyone have a lake house? Waco was bumping this weekend, okay? There are all these freak athletes running Ironmans and half Ironmans, which is just a really big triathlon. I feel like I need to explain this since none of you saw this. You must not drive either. Every street in Waco had traffic. I guess that's every day because of the construction. But anyways, beside the point, I had this buddy running the Ironman on Saturday, which he was working out for like 15 hours. And we go to watch him. And at one point in the middle of the marathon, which is the very end of the race, you run a marathon, which is insanity. And he's running the marathon and his GPS stops. And so we're like, where's our buddy? Why did he stop? He was crushing it. Like, he was doing fine. He seemed like he had good nutrition, hydration, all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, when one of our other buddies caught up to him, they started going together. So he waited 45 minutes in the middle of the Ironman because he knew it would be better to run with our buddy than it would be for him to run alone. And I was like, man, that's like a sweet illustration. I'm going to come say that at Vertical. And I'm like, wait, this is what we're talking about. Like, we need help all the time. It's not just we get tired in the race and we stop and wait for the Holy Spirit to catch up to us and all the work we've been doing. No, the Holy Spirit's with us all the time. And can y'all just think like, all right, let's be weird for 2 seconds, be imaginative. I know we don't imagine too much anymore. Let's just like think like, what if we were one of Jesus's disciples around a table right now and Jesus is like, I'm going to leave. What would you have thought to do? I was thinking about this, like I would have grabbed his leg and been like, no, bro, you're an idiot, right? Like you have no idea what you're talking about. You're too good to go, right? Like if you're really the king, then I'm gonna stick with you, all right? I'm gonna follow you to the finish. Like a little kid around their dad at homecoming, just dragging, that would have been me around Jesus, right? And think about this, Jesus says this, it's to our advantage that I go away. Yo, that's mind blowing. That's crazy. And honestly, it makes me realize that like, you and I are probably in the best time ever to live. We have all of the scriptures. There's not going to be any more Bible. It's not Old Testament, New Testament, another Testament. He's returning. And we get to see how God has worked in and throughout the Old Testament and New Testament. And now we get the Spirit of God to be everywhere. It kind of helps us understand, like, how does God hear all of our prayers if we're all praying at the same time? And you're like, because the Spirit of God is like everywhere. Like answers some of our questions. It's to our advantage. And so the first thing that we see about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is our helper. Verse 8 says this, and when this Holy Spirit comes, the helper comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Just got real. Here we go. Verse 9, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Let's stop right here. Our helper, our friend, our constant friend, the Holy Spirit, our helper convicts. That's what we see here in verse 8. When he comes, he's going to convict the world. Here's what you need to know about the word convict. I think conviction's a good thing. I think we kind of want it. It's a good thing to most of us here, but we're not really sure what it means, right? I would actually venture to say it can mean a lot of different things. The helper, the Holy Spirit, can work in a lot of different ways. He can convict us, is one way to think about it. He can expose us. He can bring things to the light in us that we didn't even see. I would even venture to say the Holy Spirit could convince us. Some of us need intellectual convincing that there really is only one true God, and it's Jesus, right? Like we need convincing. We need convicting, but really we need convincing intellectually. We need revealing, revelation. We need all these things. I would venture to say the word conviction encompasses all these things. Like that's what the Spirit of God does. When you are walking about your day and you feel that nudge that there's somebody you need to care for, that could be a conviction from the Spirit of God, okay? But equally, maybe my personal favorite is when people come up to me at Vertical and they're like, Dale, praise God, I broke up with my boyfriend or girlfriend because of this night. Like, that was awesome. And I'm like, I didn't teach on boyfriend, girlfriend that night, right? Like, how did you arrive at that conclusion when we were talking about Sabbathing, right? Like, that doesn't add up, right? Like, that was out of nowhere. That wasn't me. And here's a newsflash. It's never from me. Like, I can't go inside of you and change your mind or heart about anything. I can't go inside of you and teach you something. Only God can do that. It's the divine work. Conviction, exposing, revealing, changing, convincing. And here's what Jesus is doing here. He's saying the helper is going to convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And I actually think he would have said this and they would have thought of a courtroom, like a conviction. Do you know what a conviction is? In the court of law, a conviction comes when you're guilty, right? If you're acquitted, you're not guilty. If you're convicted, you're guilty. So Jesus is convicting us of three things, which to us, these things kind of go over our head. Convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Pay attention. If you're like, this doesn't make sense to me, pay attention right here. Here's what it means. The Holy Spirit is going to help us realize both in our non-belief, it helps non-believers understand that we are guilty of sin. And the penalty of sin in the courtroom of the kingdom of God, there's a penalty for the guilty in sin, and it's death. And then I think the courtroom also, he's saying in righteousness, like the book of Isaiah tells us, our righteousness, we are guilty. Our righteousness is trash, like filthy rags. We have no righteousness in and of ourselves. All of our righteousness is here, and God's in the clouds. We do not measure up in our righteousness. And then lastly, we're due for judgment. Why? Because we've been convicted in the courtroom. We're guilty of sin and a lack of righteousness. And so we deserve judgment. That's what the Spirit of God does in its kindness, right? But here's the deal. We need this. Like, we need the Spirit of God to work in this way. Because here's the deal. This is where we ought to understand that we are. We are guilty. And every pastor, like, has some, like, pithy saying of, like, guilt's never from God. And I'm like, okay, maybe, right? Here's my maybe, here's my pause. Because sometimes when the Spirit exposes me of my sin, I feel guilt, and that's good. Guilt isn't always bad if it's exposing us of our sin, and as long as we receive God's grace. You hear that clearly? Yeah. Hear that clearly. Guilt can be good if it's God exposing of us of our sin and our guilt and our shame and how our righteousness isn't enough and how we deserve judgment, and we experience that, we understand. This is actually salvation. This is understanding. We need saving. I'm going to receive the grace of God, which is we receive Jesus, who was sinless. So we're guilty and we receive the grace of Jesus. And what does it end with at this, the end of this illustration? Verse 11, when it comes to the judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged, like the next time the enemy of God, Satan, says to you, you're not good enough, God doesn't love you, all these things, and you feel condemnation and guilt, you can say, you don't sit in guilt. We're not a people that sit in guilt. We move to grace. And so when we hear the lies that we're not loved, we can say, I am loved. I can prove it with who Jesus is. And when the enemy tries to tell you, you are your sin, you go, no, I'm actually sinless. Because I have Jesus who was sinless. You don't have any righteousness? Well, I don't have any righteousness. I have Jesus's righteousness. So that one day we're going to stand before a judge. You've heard this before. Scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that you would get into heaven? You have a number in your mind? The next question is, if you were standing before God, what would you say is the reason why you should be let in? Jesus. We're sinless because of Jesus's grace. He's forgiven us of our sin. We're fully righteous because we've received Jesus's righteousness, because we have Christ in us. And the punishment and the judgment, sin's already been paid for. It was on Calvary. So that's what the Holy Spirit does, convicts us. And this is a good thing because it reveals our need for Jesus. And this just is such a gospel reminder. Like, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So although we're guilty, we step out in grace. Although we're sinful, God has taken our sin and taken it as far as the east is from the west, right? That's the good news of the gospel. And that's what the helper, the Holy Spirit, convicts us of and helps us understand. And I'll put it this way. The Spirit of God kicks us in the butt sometimes, right? Every good shepherd has to whack their sheep a little bit, right? Like, they're disciplined, right? That's the way a good shepherd works. So although the Spirit of God reveals and exposes and it feels, oh man, it feels overwhelming, the Spirit of God is also a helper in the sense that he's a comforter. It's talked about as being a comforter in other parts of Scripture. So it's this beautiful, if you're wondering what the Spirit of God does in our lives all the time, he kicks us in the butt and then he gives us a hug, which is probably the weirdest relationship ever. But it's what we need. It's what we need. This is what the helper does. So again, our first point was he's our helper. Our second is that he convicts. And let's look to the third point. We're making a sentence. It's kind of a thesis of the Holy Spirit. Verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you guys can't handle them now. The disciples can't handle all that Jesus has to tell them. But he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Jesus, for he will take what is Jesus's, and he will declare it to his people. And all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, all that the Father has is Jesus's. Therefore, Jesus said that he will take, the Spirit will take what is Jesus's, and he'll declare it to all of us. That is a lot. There's a lot going on here. The other and last thing we see in our sentence of what is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is our helper that convicts us and guides us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth as described here by Jesus. Verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. So this actually happens in a lot of different ways. The Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God earlier in John 14. Jesus is like, y'all aren't going to be able to remember all that I've done. So the Spirit's going to help y'all write it all out so that people can read the New Testament and hear about me. That's what the way the Spirit works. And then he guides us. He will guide you into all the truth. Let's just take a step back. Again, the context earlier, Jesus has said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so when Jesus says, I'm going to send the Spirit to guide you in all the truth, I actually really think maybe the most important primary role of the Spirit is to guide us to Jesus, is to guide us in the truth, and all the truth points us to Jesus. Everything in the Bible points to Jesus. The Holy Spirit guides us in the Word and in the truth and teaches us about Jesus. Now, here's the problem. We want a guide to just show us the way, right? Like everyone would acknowledge that. Like, I wish God would just tell me God's will, right? We desperately want God's will so often. But the problem is, the Spirit's primary role is to guide us in the truth, is to guide us and show us the person of Jesus, to guide us and make us look more like Jesus, to guide us to love others like Jesus has loved us. It's all these things, but we just deep down want him to guide us in our major, what city we want to move to one day, who we should date, who we shouldn't date. What fraternity or sorority should we think about joining? Should we join anything? Should I join that club? Should I not? Like, when we think about the Holy Spirit, like, we need to understand that the Spirit's role, primary role, is to talk about and show us Jesus. So we would understand who Jesus is. And I get it. There's some people here that are like, the Spirit told me this. That's great. Always make sure it aligns with truth. And honestly, the best, most charismatic people I know that are like, God told me, right? Like, you've heard this probably in Waco. God told me that the most healthy people are the ones that say, hey man, God told me that you're going to be a fisher of men. And I'm like, amen. That's straight from the Bible. So it's so encouraging to me when somebody speaks that truth over me, because it's pointing me to the truth, to the scripture. And it's saying, God told me. Yes, God told us, because it's from God's word. And that's the primary way the Spirit of God leads us, is in the truth. I've never heard the audible voice of God. Never heard it. But I could tell you, there was a moment in my life where I was wrestling with discontentment, and I had just gone through like relational problems, breakups, single. I was single for a long time. And I remember I was at a wedding of a girl that in my head I had kind of thought like maybe one day, maybe, you know? And I was sitting at the wedding. I was in the audience, which is awkward, right? And I remember God, like, not audibly, but just like this whisper like, do you trust me? And I was like, shut up. Was that God? I was like, where did that come from? Did you hear that? Like, I mean, it was like somebody said it. Do you trust me? And so I went to the scriptures and I was like, wait, God does in the book of wisdom say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. So I believe God said that. I believe that was from the Spirit of God. And I've had God speak through other people in very similar ways. But I'm telling you, the primary way that the Spirit speaks to us is in his word and revealing who Jesus is to us. So many of us want this miraculous, you know, Spirit told me to do this, so I did this and I made $1 billion. That's really what we want. Like, here's a hot take. The Spirit of God is going to lead you, is going to guide us. The Spirit of God is not going to tell you everything. Why? We're called to walk by faith and not by sight. And so if he needs to make it clear, he will. Hear that again. If the Spirit of God needs to make something clear in a decision, he will. If he's not clear as you're making decisions, walk by faith and choose one. And know that you'll never miss out because you made a certain choice. God gave you a choice and he's going to lead you, and he wouldn't lead you to something that would keep you from something else that would have been better. He has your best interests in mind. That's the way the Spirit of God works. So we see here that in John 16, Jesus is leaving and he's saying, I'm going to send you a helper to convict and guide you. And you're like, okay, we just spent, I don't know how long, talking about the Holy Spirit. What does it have to do with me, right? That's every week. How do we apply this? We apply it by setting the sails. Here's what I mean by that. On a boat, in a sailboat, like what they do every day is they set the sails. And that's what we're called to. How do we set the sails? We spend time with God. We pray. Ephesians talks about how there's this battle going on in a spiritual realm. And the spiritual realm is more real than the physical realm. And this battle isn't of flesh and blood. It's of principalities and powers. And so at the very end of this armor of God that Paul is talking about in the book of Ephesians, he's like, pray at all times in the Spirit. He's like, talk to the Spirit of God all the time. Like, we're meant to go about our day praying. So, Holy Spirit, is there anything you want me to do? Is there somebody you want me to talk to? Is there somebody you want me to care for? Is there something you want to bring to my mind? We're meant to constantly be in prayer. So the first way that we set the sails is we pray. The other way that we set the sails is we spend time in his word, and we spend time around God's people, and we spend time at church and at Vertical so that God might work, that the Spirit of God might work. And here's the deal. There was this revival that happened at Baylor in like the 1940s. And there's this book written about it called Riding the Wind of God. It's called Riding the Wind of God. Why? Because what they were saying is the Spirit came in a mighty, mighty way. And I actually think that God is working uniquely and in a mighty way in Waco. And some of you are trying to force wind. You're trying to force an emotional experience. You're trying to force that God told me this, when in reality, all God wants from us is for us to set the sails. And you're going to catch the wind that he's already got going through Waco. I'm telling you, our responsibility is to set the sails. He's doing something mighty and unique in Waco. And I think it's because of the humility of our leaders and the unity of the body of Christ. And I think there's something special. And I think God can do it again on this campus. He can work for revival. He can reform our minds and transform our hearts. That's what God can do. Our responsibility, our application, is to set the sails so that our helper can convict and guide. And what happens is, this is what happens. This is the way the Christian life works. Here's the deal. We're dead in our transgressions and our sin. We receive the grace of God. Then we set the sails for the Holy Spirit to start working in us. And then the Spirit and the wind of God just like catches the boat. And you just start going. And people are like, where are they going? There's something happening. There's something special going on there. We see it in the book of Acts. When the Holy Spirit comes, when Jesus leaves, and the Holy Spirit comes, and it says this, Acts 1:8, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And so what happens is we set the sails and we become witnesses. Because what? Because God is moving us in a mighty way that we can't explain it. We're like, we just set the sails, and then God started just like, just moving in this crazy, crazy way. And we become witnesses. People are like, who are you people? We're like, well, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the way God's working. Let me tell you about how God loves you. That's all it is. We become witnesses. The Spirit is our helper, our convictor, our guide. And when the Spirit of God is working in our lives, we become witnesses. Baylor students, Waco, you're only gonna be here for 4 years. You will go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And you must leave here and be witnesses. And you start now. That's why God has you here. And I honestly think, Baylor, the apathy and the cultural Christianity, this is the cure to it. Prayer and the Spirit of God moving. I'm telling you. That's the culture that we have to be aware of. And I think this is one of the solutions that God has given us. And our calling and our application is to set the sails and ask that God would move and bring the wind of God so we could be his witnesses and so other people can know the love of God. Let me pray that you would. And that we would. Lord, would you help us to be your people who are led by our helper, the Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray tonight that you would convict all of us in here for something that we didn't even talk about. Where the Spirit of God work in a mighty way. I'll just say it right now. I've been convicted of my comfort as I'm like sweating just a little bit. I'm like, dadgummit, God, couldn't you have given us a little bit better weather? I'm like, what am I doing? Father, forgive me. Would you convict us and work in our lives so that we could receive grace and not sit in guilt, but receive grace? Spirit of God, would you work and guide us in your word and in the truth and show us who Jesus is? And then would you make us witnesses? Would you help us to faithfully set our sails, to pray for God to work, pray for God to move, set the sails daily, enjoy the mundane of setting the sails and asking God to work. And Spirit, we ask that you would move in a mighty wind of God over this campus. Through the Spirit, would you work? We beg of you, would you work? Would you kill apathy? Would you kill cultural Christianity? Would you kill our numb, hard hearts towards you that don't really care? Would you kill those things by your grace? Spirit of God, would you help us? I beg of you to work in this way. Jesus, thank you for sending your helper, the helper. Thank you for having a plan. Even though you were leaving, you had a better plan. Thank you for caring about us and having a plan for us. Would you help us, guide us, convict us, make us witnesses? And would the nations know you because of this faithful people? And would our neighbors know you because of the work that you're doing here on this campus and the work that you're going to do as we're sent from here? We love you. We pray all this in your son Jesus' name. Amen.